Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
My thanks to Adams Road Band for that introductory music. Welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. But I also have the pleasure to have with us today Chip Thompson. Chip Thompson has been a longtime friend going back to the 1990s, have ministered side by side and taught side by side in conferences and such. And we're just kind of talking about his experiences starting a church in Ephraim, Utah, which is an area with very high LDS population, as many rural towns in Utah have very high LDS populations. But as we were discussing in our last broadcast, you came up from Phoenix.
From Phoenix, yes.
From Phoenix, Arizona, and a friend of yours had told you when you came up to Utah one time to just count how many Christian churches you see. Is that how you worded it?
Yeah.
And you saw that there was a need.
A great need, yes.
And
came,
so
came from Page, Arizona, all the way to Ephraim, and there were no churches you could see from Highway 89. Mm-hmm. There really were no churches in most of the communities. There was a couple communities that had a church, but very few.
Mm. So definitely Utah is an area that needs Christian churches.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. It's a real rarity that I don't think a lot of people living in the United States ever really think about, because we're so used to seeing Christian churches in just about every state in the Union.
Right.
You go to some states in particular. Well, Eric and I were from Southern California. There's churches everywhere. Texas, mm-hmm. There's churches everywhere. But you come to Utah, and except perhaps maybe in the Salt Lake Valley, they become few and far between.
Right.
And unfortunately, just because we have a very religious population here, does not mean that they don't need the gospel, because they certainly do. And one of the things that we find out is, though there are a lot of people up here who have very strong religious beliefs, when you talk to them, they don't know where they're going when they
right.
die. And if you don't know where you're going when you die, there's a good chance you're probably lost.
Right.
And that's why Christians need to be here. So you've come here, and you start with virtually nothing in this small town of Ephraim, and you're going to start this church, Ephraim Church of the Bible. The building that we are in right now, which is currently the Fellowship Hall, was this building at all here? You said something about a double wide. Did I hear you correctly on that?
Yeah, the Sunday school area of our church used to be a double wide trailer, and the church itself, the auditorium, was just a concrete block garage with open windows when we bought it. That was probably 12 years ago now.
And the people that are living around here, they're watching you, okay? And they're watching this small little fledgling congregation, primarily your family, your wife and your kids. They're watching something happening here. What's the reaction?
The community really does not know what to do with us. They like us as people. We're hard workers. We fix up the places we buy. We are active in the community. I was coach for years with the Little League basketball and Little League soccer and all that kind of stuff. Jamie was the president of the PTA, that kind of thing. So they know us, they like us, but they don't like that their people keep being converted to Christianity through our ministries. And so that's what they don't like.
Well, that's to be expected. Mormons are not usually one that likes to give up their people. And so they do tend to put up a little bit of a fight here when it comes to that. I mean, spiritually speaking, I'm not saying physically. How does that affect your family? For your kids, growing up as Christians in a Mormon environment, it's got to be pretty difficult, I would say, for some kids. How did your kids react to that?
It wasn't all that difficult for our kids. I mean, I don't know. I think God prepared us for this kind of ministry, this style of ministry. We both Jamie and I grew up in small communities, so to move into a rural community was no problem. Our kids, when they went to school, they had each other. Our oldest three are very close together in age, so they weren't like that far apart. And in school, at first, they were the only Christians in the whole school. But later, as the church got going, families started to convert to Christianity, and so they started to have friends in school. And honestly, I believe our children in the faith are stronger than the average Christian around the country, because they actually had to defend themselves. They had to know what they believe. And so they did.
That's not an atypical phenomenon. Whenever the church, Big C Church, is under any type of pressure, they tend to grow better,
right,
and be much stronger. I think that's one of the biggest problems we have in our Christian churches in the United States, is because there hasn't been enough pressure,
right,
and we become soft and we forget that there's a world out there that's dying and needs to hear what we have to say. We get far too complacent. It's difficult to do that in Utah because you are rubbing shoulders with the Mormon people every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get away from that. So you've been pastor of Ephraim Church of the Bible for how many years, when God is now going to put you in kind of a different direction with the college ministry? Because right here in Ephraim, we have Snow College.
Right.
Snow College is what, a two-year college?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Two-year junior college.
Two-year junior college. And now God is moving you in a different direction. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, in the beginning of that whole thing, we didn't know God was really moving us in a different direction. We just knew God was burdening us
for something. Isn't that how he is?
Yeah, absolutely.
He seems like we're the last to know.
Right. Well, from starting the church in our living room, we moved into a shed, and then we moved into this church building here, and we pastored that church for about 13 years. In that 13th year, God really seemed to be burdening our hearts that there was nothing going on at Snow College. There were no Christian ministries there at all, ever. And so we decided that we would start praying about that and see what God might open up for us. So my wife and I, all summer long, every night, we would go for a walk, and we would walk around Snow College campus, because it's a beautiful campus, and we would just pray that God would open up an opportunity for us to somehow reach this college for Christ. So as we were walking, as we were praying, we just continually seemed to be directed to this house that was on the corner. It was an old Victorian house, had a big three-car garage with an apartment above it. And it just seemed as though if that would ever open up, that would be the perfect facility for us to use as a ministry. So Jamie and I started sitting down across the street on the corner and just started praying that God would give us that house. And we prayed that all summer long. We would walk by, we'd stop and sit on the curb and just say, God, if you will give us that house, we will use that facility to reach Snow College for Christ.
Perfect location, too.
It's an awesome facility. And it wasn't for sale. The lady that owned it was a Mormon lady. We saw her one day out weeding her garden, so we walked up and talked to her. Her name was Elaine. And we just said, Elaine, this is just a beautiful place. Would you mind if you showed us the living room? And we'd just love to see it. It's a old house built in 1897. And so she took us in, showed us the house, and we asked her, we said, would you ever consider selling the house? And she said that she wouldn't consider it at this time. And so we said, well, would you ever consider, if you did sell it, allowing us to have the first option to buy it? And that was sort of the beginning of this. The next spring, she called us, offered us the house, the whole facility with the garage and everything, for $193,000, which even at that time, I think, was a good buy. But that's a lot of money. No way our little mission church or our personal finances could afford that. So we asked her if she would give us 45 days to come up with our financing. And she didn't know that meant that we had to come up with the money somehow. So we started sending out emails and letters. And we just told the people that we were communicating with that this is what we were going to do with the house. That there was no ministry at this college. It never had been in over 100 years of its history. We were going to use this facility to reach Snow College for Christ. But we couldn't afford the debt. Our ministry couldn't afford it. We couldn't. So we would have to pay cash for this house if God wanted us to have it. And we just believed that if God really wanted us to have it, he would give it to us. So to make a long story short, Elaine Burnham gave us 45 days. We began letting people know what we wanted to do. And in 45 days, 110 contributions came in that were more than enough to pay cash for the house.
Amazing.
And along with that, three people said they would give us a donation to help us with the reconstruction of the house or remodeling of the house, but they had a house to sell in order to do it. So when we got the house, we started immediately doing work on it. And when we ran out of money, somebody sold a house and they gave the money they had pledged. So we had $5,000 more. So we kept working on it until we ran out of money. And as soon as we ran out of money, somebody else sold a house. So God just provided for all the needs. The ministry's been, it's called Solid Rock Christian Club at Snow College. and it's the facility for Tri-Grace Ministries now.
And what's the address exactly if somebody wanted to stop by and say hi?
It's actually an amazing facility. It's a public facility, and it's 96 East Center Street in Ephraim. And in there we have a cafe, which is like an internet cafe, a professional coffee shop. So anybody that likes coffee, like gourmet coffee, we have like a Starbucks kind of a coffee shop there. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Bible museum, which draws a lot of attention and allows us to talk about the Bible with a lot of the visitors that come in. And our facility then is the home base for the Solid Rock Christian Club at Snow College.
Now, you have students that work with you here that actually attend Snow College sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. You know, our club has to have 6 students in order to be a club. So we connect with the students that come in, and sometimes we barely have 6, but we have enough to keep going. So we have to have a club president. It's a fully fledged club, a Snow College club, and it's a lot of work, but it's worth it because it allows us the privileges of doing things on campus that a club can do.
Mm-hmm. Every year you have a sponsor float in the parade here, right? There's some kind of a parade. Explain what that is.
It's a homecoming parade, and because we're a club, we get a spot in the parade. So we create a float that somehow either directs people to our clubhouse or challenges them in some way spiritually. And it's just a presence that we have, and our presence kind of helps the people to see that we're not just like barely surviving here. We're actually thriving here, and it's amazing.
What would you say is one of the most, we don't have enough time to go into some of the most fantastic stories, but I do remember when you were raising the funds. And the 45-day thing, I remember telling my wife, Tam, I go, 45 days, you got to be kidding. But I remember you were sending out emails, okay, we're here, we're here, we're here, we're here. And it was incredible to see how God was moving and how you were able to do this.
Yeah, something really interesting at the end of that, we live in a community that's, you know, it's a little mom-and-pop community and a little mom-and-pop bank and all that kind of stuff. We needed the funds fairly quickly after we purchased the house, we signed for it. So we sent a letter to people and said, okay, if you can do it, we need your funds as quickly as possible so we can start making our payment on this house. And in 1 week, all of the money came in.
Incredible.
Bank people were amazed.
I can see why. We're going to continue this story with Chip Thompson in our next broadcast.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.